actually going to start at verse 11 and, or no, verse 8. I'm sorry. Could I get some water? Let one of these boys go. Let one of these boys. There you go. You went this morning, didn't you? That's what I thought. Okay. All right. They helped me clean my truck yesterday. So, all right. Well, Revelation chapter 14. Thank you, sir. Don't forget your shoes. Are you like Sam Gipp? Sam Gipp starts preaching, he takes his shoes off. He used to. I don't know if he still does. Yeah, he'll be out here, and he'll be here in November. Yeah, it's we've already set up the schedule. I think it's November. Yeah, it's now they said that. Let's see. I thought I had it down. I'll get a record. I thought it was in November. But anyway, so yeah. So yeah, that'll be about 3 years. All right. Revelation chapter 14. And we're dealing with the Lamb, and we've been talking about that. And we'll actually start reading verse 7. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and grace. We appreciate your book. We appreciate you for allowing us to have it. We appreciate what you've done for us and how good you are to us. We appreciate the spirit in our church, Lord, and we know that we can't develop that, Lord. And if there's a good spirit, it's because of you. And it is because of people yielding themselves to you. And that's the only reason. And Lord, we think of all these troubles that's going on in the churches, and the church is not, trouble's not new to them, but Lord, the things that's going on in them, there's always going to be something going on in churches because the devil's always in the middle of it. But Lord, these things ought not to be this way. And so our church needs to be in a lot of prayer about the spirit of our church and yielding to you and what's going to happen and what's going to occur the day that you remove me, and whether it's a year or whatever. But we see what's going on in the other churches, and it's very distressing and hurtful, and the attitude, the bitterness and the anger that's developed from it. And Lord, it's just not right. And I believe that, Lord, that you want it done right, and I believe that it can be done right if we simply get over ourselves and realize that it's about you and your church. And so, Lord, help us to do that. We pray for these other churches. And we do pray for the night that you'll bless your word, and we just thank you for it. In thy name we pray. Amen. All right, in verse 7, it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God. Now remember, this was an angel flying over heaven, in the midst of heaven, and preaching the everlasting gospel. And in verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. Remember, that was part of the what they had to do for the everlasting gospel. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In verse 9, and the third angel followed them, so now we got another one, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture under the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So again, back in verse 8, we see this angel, and we see about Babylon, and we'll get into Babylon later on, because from here on out, Babylon's playing which we know as Rome, is playing a major part in things. But notice she's made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So at the time John is seeing this, which is beyond us, all nations has her influence. And we see that's pretty well the case right now. The thing you have to remember, the thing that separates Catholicism from a country becoming Catholicism controlled is middle class people. You look at every third class country where Catholicism is the main religion, there's no middle class people. Communism, Catholicism, all does away with middle class people. And of course, what's happening to Canada and Australia and America, they're trying to eliminate that middle class people, and that's one thing that Catholicism does. And so and this is one of the things that the countries drink of, and they become drunk with the acts of their fornication. So in verse 10 it says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Now see, the punishment will fit the crime that's been done. They will reap what they sow. Now, if we were just discussing in there about that Kent Hovind, I got a DVD. I've had it for 2 or 3 months, and I throwed it on my counter. But I was reading about it, and there's 3 preachers in there, and it's about the tribulation, and what they're doing is proving that the falsity of the pre-trib rapture. In other words, they're saying that the church goes through the tribulation, and so if it's and if you look at this thing, God said over in Ephesians that He has not appointed us to wrath, okay, and we got more and more and more and so and I don't even I've thought about watching it, but I get aggravated and upset with things like that, especially. They're highly educated people, I don't even know if I want to watch. I'll watch it and I'll bring it to church and we'll see it, but I don't even know if I want to do that. So I mean, see what we're getting at. If this is the case, then if they're right, we're going to be going through this. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay? So anyway, this city has forced her, in verse 8, Babylon, she's forced her wine of wrath of her fornication for so long that these nations are now addicted to it. And this is what it will come more and more. They can't live without it anymore. They've got to have the Rome, they've got to have her influence and everything, so they're addicted to it, and that's the problem. And you know, the problem with addiction, after a while, you keep wanting more and more of it, and so and this is what she's doing, and this is why you're seeing that they've got to add more to this addiction of committing fornication against God. Of you see them now bringing in the Muslims, and of course she's a mother harlot, and so it's just more more profane things that to entice people. What was preaching on this morning? Satan wants to make everything the same. Well, all religions are the same. They believe in the same God and everything. No, and so it by the time the tribulation starts, and then after, it's going to get much worse, because the Spirit of Christ will be out of here. Then the things that Rome is going to do, we haven't seen. We won't see. I mean, the like of what she's going to do. So the same will drink of the cup of, now again, verse 10, these ones are also going to drink of the cup of God's wrath without mixture, meaning that God will not dilute his wrath down. God dilutes his wrath down right now. I mean, we see a lot of terrible things, but during this time, it's going to, think about that. We preach about the love of God, and we should, but I'll tell you what, now you're seeing the raw wrath of God upon those that was doing this. And that's the tribulation is the only way to explain that, of what they're going to go through. And God would put his children through that thing? His bride for his son? No. So anyway, got to remember that John, the same God that the man, God used the man John to see all this wrath, he's the same one over in John that wrote John 3:16. And so we got to, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So in verse 10 and 11, these verses, in verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixtures into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment shall ascend up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night who worship the beast and the image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So again, these verses are about as negative as you can get. Now, while we're going through all these negative verses, I want you to remember something. Look at verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Now, what does that mean, happy? Now, notice that. Even during this time, he says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And so it's in the Lord. Now, you will either die in the Lord, which will bring the happiness of the Lord, or you'll die in your sins, which will bring the wrath of God upon you. Okay? Now, whether that's now, if you die in your sins, the wrath of God is going to come upon you. In tribulation, these here, are it's the same way. Now, notice it did say their works followed them. These are the things that, in verse 13, read it again. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So they're in the Lord, and their works follow them. Now, for us, this is the works that we've done after we got saved, okay? But you're not saved by doing good works. You know that, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In verse 10 there, it talked about hell. And people do everything they can just not to think about hell. Hell is just as sure as heaven. You see, look up there. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out, and he shall be tormented in fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. So in verse 11, it talks about it's hell. And just as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. And people's got to understand that. So again, in verse 10, it's talking about into the cup. Now, what about this cup? Well, let's find out about this cup. There's a lot of scriptures on different on cups. Hold your place here and go to Psalm 75. Psalm 75. Talking about this, in over here, there's going to be in verse 8, was it that the Babylon made them to drink from the cup of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and God's going to make them drink from the cup of his wrath. And so in Psalm 75, look at verse 8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, and it is full of mixtures, and he poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Now, it doesn't matter what you drink. Even I was drinking some cherry juice and some pure cherry juice, and it has dregs in it. They don't taste good. I was doing some grape juice one time that you'd gave me, and I noticed there was some dregs in the bottom of it, and I drank them, and boy, was that bitter. You just don't want to drink of them, man, though the juice was great. But this is what he's talking about here. And that stuff in the bottom of the cup, you just don't want it. It's terrible. It's bitter. And so it's bad tasting stuff at the bottom. And that's what God's going to make them drink. See, they won't drink the good stuff. God's what he's talking about in Revelation, they're going to drink the dregs. I mean, the stuff that God would never put on anybody else to make them drink. These people, they're going to drink it. And so look at Isaiah 51. Have you ever drank camp coffee? You take that last swallow and, man, it's in your mouth and you gag and it, it's some dregs that are there, man, that bitter. And God says it's bitter. That's what he's going to bring on these people. Now think about that. Is God going to bring all this on the church?
He wouldn't bring it on his wife.
Do what?
He wouldn't bring it on his
wife. No. So look at Isaiah 51 and look at verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast, now notice, this is, he's talking here about the Battle of Armageddon, about everything that's going on there. Remember, Jerusalem has been destroyed so many times. And so again, she's going to be destroyed. And so he tells her to wake up, and which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of the trembling and wrung them out. And the only thing I can think of is that trembling is when you get that bitter, you just go, because it's so bad. And so that's kind of the idea you get from it, that God calls it the cup of his fury, but over in Revelation, he called it the cup of his indignation. See? And so now look at Jeremiah 25. It's all talking about the same account. Jeremiah 25, look at verse 15. For thus, Jeremiah 25, 15, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of the fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send it to drink it. Now notice God calls it, he says, this is the cup of God's wrath for the sins that you've committed that are not under the blood of Christ and have not been atoned for when you hit the judgment seat of Christ. That could be talking about us. Notice there, as for a Christian, if we don't confess our sins, there's going to be a cup of now it's not going to be the wrath of like over in tribulation, but notice he says, take the wine cup of the fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send it to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the war sword that I shall send among them. So look at Jeremiah 49. We don't have to worry about drinking that cup. Now, there is going to be a judgment seat of Christ, okay? And we're going to stand accountable for him. But there won't be any fury and wrath there because we're with him. Okay? And so, but Jeremiah 49, and look at verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. So he's, and you know, the simple fact of it is, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, there'll be a day that the unsaved will drink of that thing, and that's just the way it is. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and let's see, I got ahead of myself. Where am I at? No, Matthew 26. That's okay. Look at verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Okay? So we see that cup showing up there. Now that cup is this. It's the cup of God's wrath, the cup of God's fury, and the cup of God's judgment. See, we see all of them right there when Christ took of that cup. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. So when Christ took that cup, he took the cup of God's wrath, the cup of God's fury, and the cup of God's indignation. You know what? That means I don't have to. He took it for me. When I received him, that was applied to me. I am not going to have to go through that. How do they not get that? It just doesn't register with me. God took all the sins of the world and laid them on Jesus Christ, and it became sin for us. Christ has already drank that cup of wrath, that cup of fury, and that cup of indignation on the cross for me. And when I accepted him, he repented of being a sinner and asked him to save my soul, I never have to drink that cup. Why? Christ did it. He did it. God's love is just and holy love that's not based on feelings. Isn't that good? And sentiments, therefore God must justly deal with sin. He doesn't deal with him that. He looks at it, and you know what? My sin has been taken care of. Christ drunk that and paid the debt of wrath and all that I owe. I'm not going to have to, but the ones that do, they're going to be paying for it. So back to Revelation 14, And verse 10 and 11 there, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And of course, we know this is the basically the battle of Armageddon going on here. Okay? And shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment shall ascend up forever and ever. And so there'll be millions of souls go to hell during the tribulation that heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before the rapture and refused to believe the truth. Okay? So who are these? These are a lot of people right now that's living that have heard the gospel and rejected it. Look at we haven't read this. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. Just need to know where these verses are at. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. People that have heard how to be saved and rejected it and believed a lie, well, God's going to allow them to believe a lie. They will not be able to be saved in the tribulation. They will be going under this wrath and the indignation and the fury of God because they believed a lie. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse... wait a minute, I think it's the 1 Thessalonians. Wait a minute. No. Look at verse... no, it should be... well, let me see. Yeah, I know it's there. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to look at chapter... Look at chapter 2 Thessalonians 1, and verse 6 says, seeing it a righteous thing with God to be recompensed... Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now notice that from who shall be punished with everlasting fire from the presence of the Lord. A lot of preachers preach that TV preachers that hell is just not being in the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Who used to do that? Billy Graham. Mm-hmm. When he shall come, verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And so, so there it is. And again, you ever heard that, of course, Jehovah's Witnesses say that hell is a grave. Hell can't be the grave. Look at Revelation 14, verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, and is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. Hell can't be the grave, because hell is in the center of the earth. And that's where the unholy angels are at. That's where the fire and brimstone is at, in the center of the earth. It's not 6 feet down. Okay? Only thing in there is worms. And so... it can't be the grave. So they're not tormented. And notice it's in the presence of the holy angels and Jesus, so it's not in the grave. Verse 11 says the smoke of their torment. When's the last time that you drove by a graveyard and it was smoking? No. It hell is hell and the grave is the grave. And not only that, everything in the Bible teaches that the grave for the body is a kind of a sleep or a rest. In hell, they're not getting no rest. They're tormented day and night. And then it says in the presence of the Lamb. Now, how many have heard, again, and this is what Billy Graham used to preach, that hell is separation from God. In his latter days, that's what he preached, and he knows better now, but I mean, not that he's in hell, but he's in heaven. So, okay, and so the simple fact of it is man has been trying to get rid of God since the garden. They take God out of the schools, we know that, and we wonder why you got young people killing themselves. We wonder why our politicians are like we was talking about this morning, ready to kill a baby, talk about whether the baby's going to live or not. And so it's just part of it. Look at Psalms 139. When you take God out of things, it becomes corrupt. Psalms 139, and look at verse 7. Whither shall I go from the Spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Now notice that. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God created all this. But notice that there in verse 8. Hell is not, he says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Hell is not separation from God, but what is the experience of the wrath of God for all eternity. And that's what it's talking about. Look at Isaiah 66. These people that come up with some strange doctrine, I'll tell you. Isaiah 66, look at verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. Now we know this is in the millennial reign. We know that hell at that time will be the pit, and it'll be exposed. We'll be able to see it. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. And so if there's no hell, then why did Jesus Christ go through what he did? Simple fact. There's a hell. Look at Daniel chapter 2. Going to your right there, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. I'm sorry, Daniel 12. Daniel 12. Daniel 12, and look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some unto everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now notice, he's talking about judgment here. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. It could be, yeah. And some to shame and everlasting. Yeah, it could be talking about the rapture, because verse 3, yeah. Question, how long is heaven going to last? It's going to be last forever, just like, hell will be turned into the pit, but as we know, it's going to be forever, just like heaven will be forever. And what is Hebrews 9:27? As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So there again, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to the shame and everlasting. And that's what we're trying to look at. See, it's forever, contempt. And that's the thing we're looking at. Look at Matthew 25. If heaven's going to be forever, then hell has to be, or the lake of fire is going to be forever. There has to be an opposite of heaven, okay? And that's what we're trying to prove. And it's Matthew 25, look at verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. See, notice the word everlasting. And that's all we're just concentrating on, that there's going to be wrath poured upon these people, and it's going to be everlasting, just like glory is going to be bestowed upon us, which is going to be everlasting. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered and you gave me meat, and I was a thirsty and you gave me drink. And look at verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Okay? So it's either everlasting punishment or everlasting life and happiness or eternal life. And that's what it's talking about. Look at Luke. Luke 16. Look at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now we know what's going on here with Lazarus. In verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. We know the story there, but you go on down and you come up into verse 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Father Abraham, but if it were unto them, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Well, they didn't. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So it's talking about everlasting, and that's what it is. So back in Revelation 14 in verse 10 and 11, they're drinking. There's going to be some that'll drink of the wrath of God. You see this, and it's called through the Old Testament the wrath of God, the cup of God's wrath, the cup of God's fury, and the cup of God's indignation. And we're all coming on the people, unsaved people. Notice that in verse 11, and the smoke of the torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Now, what does all our songs tell us about what we have? An eternal rest. Right? I mean, just song after song, that we're going to rest beyond the river. Just beyond, it's eternal rest. Here, they have no. And it's thinking, people struggle through life and being beat to death and wear themselves out. And they work for a retirement, and they retire, and about 5 years they die, and then they spend eternity with no rest. That's something all through the Scripture is promised. And okay, let's say they don't die, and we go into the tribulation. There is no rest. I mean, because the ones that's going to go through the tribulation, they will starve to death, either that or take a mark. They have to do whatever they can to eat, and there's never a rest. We are promised a rest. Everything in Scripture does. And what's that rest? It's the same thing that God talked about. He created heaven and earth in 6 days. On the seventh day he rested. And what's that? It's a day of that we will be an eternity day of rest with the Lord. You cannot be overexerted being in the presence of God. Think about that. Nobody could die and stay dead in his presence. When he called Lazarus out of the grave, if he hadn't called Lazarus by name, everybody around there would have come out of the grave. Why? Because with him is a rest. There's no death. There's no... And what he said, "What? Come rest with me." What does he say right there? And I love them first few verses, and I still wish we had it up out here, because it means a lot to me. In Thessalonians there, in chapter 2, or 2 Thessalonians, and what he says, let's see, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And that is a eternal rest that we have that cannot be taken away. And what are they doing? They're trying to take it away. Any comments about it? Any comments about it? All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll go home then. Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness.